Your time now, 24 minutes to 12, 24 minutes left on the show. And wrapping up the show today, chatting about bullying, bullying in the workplace. But what exactly is bullying? I mean, the big question to you today is, do you have a boss or a colleague that just runs riot on you, finding every excuse to tear you down, break you down? And bullying in and of itself, as it is an issue, is not the only issue, because bullying also leads to depression in a lot of people. So I'd like you to call in and share your stories about workplace bullying and how you manage to deal with that. Maybe you're a chief executive in an office, or a chief executive of a company, and when you got there, you encountered bullying in your particular workplace between staff members, senior people, and junior people within the business, and you've done something to get rid of that. Maybe your business does something rather interesting to make sure that bullying doesn't even have a place, not even in someone's mind within your particular workplace. So to talk to you around this, Livandri Pillay, clinical psychologist. Hello, 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 and welcome back.
Hi, Kino. Lovely to be back.
So how do we define bullying?
Well, I think it gets a little bit complicated when you're talking about different bullying in the workplace and bullying with kids.
Well, bullying in the workplace. Let's focus on the workplace.
Yes, definitely. I think bullying in the workplace is a lot subtler. And I think sometimes what happens is we don't even realize as adults that it can happen to us. And sometimes we're more likely to turn a blind eye to it and think that that's just the way things are done in the workplace. And before we realize that we're actually being bullied, we're so far into it that we don't even know how to get ourselves out of it. And more often than not, it sabotages not only your work and your ability to do your job, but also your personal life, because it extends past the workplace. You take that home with you.
Yeah. And all of us were taught, you know, growing up, hopefully we had half-decent parents, at least, that taught us to respect others, care about others, you know, treat other people the way you would like to be treated. Some people even throw the Bible in and all sorts of other interesting stuff. Why is it then that we find people in the workplace in particular that actually bullies? Is it a deficiency within oneself, and you try and make yourself feel better about taking it out on other people and making people feel worse than you? What exactly leads to it, or is it multifaceted?
I think it can be multifaceted. However, I do think that there are some similarities between all types of bullies, whether it's in the playground or in the office. It is very much an inferiority complex in terms of a power dynamic and being able to be in that amount of power over somebody else, to be able to manipulate someone or overpower them in such a way that it actually affects their well-being. And that you feel sometimes a bully might feel that if they are able to do that and do that successfully, not only whatever the purpose of the reason for their bullying, but they have been able to overpower another person. And it makes them feel better about themselves, so that they don't have to focus on their own challenges that they might be facing.
And when these bullies happen to be senior people, let's say even your boss, it's very difficult to deal with it within the work context.
Yes. I mean, sometimes you do find that bosses and people in superior positions in the work environment are very threatened by their position. They feel like they struggled to get there, or for whatever reason they might have struggled to get there, and they're struggling to hold the place, and they feel like the only way they can hold that place is through force and enforcing power over other people and to maintain their superiority. It gets very challenging to sort of address that issue as a subordinate to a superior who is bullying you. I think in that sense, it does get complicated. So you have to be very careful around how you address the issue and being aware of who you can go to when things like that happen in your workplace.
Yeah, but where do you start? And by the way, while Livandri Pillay, clinical psychologist, answers that, I'd like you to maybe call in, ask some questions, maybe share some of your own personal experiences within the workplace, especially if you've can talk about how difficult it was to actually deal with it, or how you eventually managed to sort out the issue. But yeah, how does one then go about, you know, fighting the bully in the workplace, especially with the power dynamics in play?
I think one of the most important parts to start with is documentation. The more proof you have about the situation you're in, the easier it is. And you don't get stuck in this he said, she said dynamic where no one actually has any proof about what happened. Mm. So to actually get anywhere, you need to be very careful about documenting all the incidents that have happened to you where you felt like you might have been bullied in some way or another before you address any sort of HR or other seniors.
So what HR? HR is supposed to play a role, right? But let's be honest about it. HR is nothing but a management function within a business. And they all sit in the same blinking management meetings. You know, they all go to the same management lunches. Why should we even bother with HR half the time?
Yes, unfortunately, that is the nature of the workplace these days, is that it's sometimes difficult even to go to the people you're supposed to be going to for help, in which case you're going to have to look at other alternatives, such as employee wellness people or perhaps even going outside the work environment to someone else, like a lawyer or someone who is more informed in it, so that you can actually get you can have some strong footing before you actually take this further.
And let's chat about the toll that this type of, and people are different, obviously, but let's talk about the toll that it actually takes on individuals having to, because remember, it's not like you can walk into another job tomorrow. You have to deal with half the cretins that you have to deal with, and you have to take the pain a lot of the time, especially if the system's not geared to assist you. So how does it affect individuals?
I think one of the most important effects that we need to focus on is on the psychological impact on someone who is being bullied. Because of the situation that you might be in, you know, in the work environment, you're not doing the job just for job satisfaction. You're doing it because it's how you maintain your lifestyle. If you need income to manage your lifestyle and take care of your family.
Yeah.
I think what happens is that it does become such a problem that that's where you get increased heart disease. We have increased depression, anxiety, other sort of stress, psychological stress disorders. And it does start filtering out into your family life as well. I mean, so in some extreme cases, work unhappiness or work-life unhappiness does result in divorce. I mean, not directly so, but it does create such a strain in your family and your relationships that you end losing some of those relationships because of the distress.
So it could literally kill you, right? So from a couple of perspectives, people could become suicidal, and we know the parliamentary officer who shot and killed himself complained about bullying in the workplace, and this was quite a senior person. So there's the one aspect. And then it also works on a cellular level where potentially cancers, heart attacks present themselves.
Yes, strokes as well. It does result in psychosomatic disorders as well. I mean, you know, when you're emotionally distressed, and you must understand, we spend a large amount of our time in the workplace, from most people, 8 to 5, 8 to 6, or whatever the case may be. It's a large amount of time that you're spending in the workplace exposed to this type of stressor. So you're constantly putting your body under complete stress, which does impact it quite significantly.
And the pressure we put on ourselves, and I'm going to link it for you. You know, people want certain lifestyles. They want to earn certain money. They want to do this. Wouldn't it be better if we actually decided to live simpler lives where possible, where we're not beholden to needing the bigger, triple story than the neighbor, needing to at least earn 1.5 million rand a year in order to feel like you're worth anything, and maybe simplifying our lives, giving ourselves more power?
As amazing as that may sound, it's very much like Plato's Republic. You're aiming for a society that's not realistic in today's world.
It isn't,
unfortunately. I think that it's on such a deep ingrained level that people feel like they need to achieve all these materialistic things to establish some sort of, you know, happiness or joy. But often we find that people are searching for that happiness and joy in the wrong places. And that needs to happen on a very, very basic level for people to actually get to a place where they can accept that, you know, I don't have to have 2 million rand in the bank for me to be happy.
Well, yeah. I mean, I agree with that. But there are some people who've realized that. There are some people who've scaled down. There are some people who said, actually, what does happiness actually mean to me? Because the biggest threat, and I remember having a chat, and sorry, Roderick's given us a call. I want to go to Roderick. I was in New York one day. I met a friend of mine, Ron Allen, who's been working at NBC for the longest time. And you know, I was starting my little entrepreneurship stuff. And he said to me, how do you do it? How do you do it? He says, you know what? I have golden handcuffs. And I said, what are you talking about? He says, I'm on the treadmill. He says, I've got the house at the beach. I've got a salary, which is, you know, I think it was over 600,000 or 400,000 US dollars a year. He said, but they're forcing me to do these things within the organization that I absolutely hate doing. And, you know, I'm just getting pushed left, right, and center. And he said, I'm on this treadmill. I can't get off. And when I get off, I'm going to lose my golden, absolutely pristinely golden handcuffs. And a lot of people find themselves in that position.
Most definitely. I mean, you know, we feel like, you know, as soon as we achieve our one goal, we need to achieve the next and the next until we reach something that we think we're aiming for, but not realizing what we're losing in the process. And so we might have the financial stability, but at what cost?
Exactly. Now let's go to Roderick and Strand. Hey, Roderick, thanks for taking the time. You'd like to talk about your wife, sir?
Yes, Kino. Hi to the doctor and to you guys. Great show.
Thank you, man. Hi. Appreciate it.
Hi. Yeah, I would definitely not name the company, but my wife a couple of years ago went through something like this, bullied to the highest grade, and where she got a job, and she was she was the least qualified, but she had the most experience. She got this job, and she eventually got the job, and it got so bad where she was bullied by this executive to the point where we sometimes on a Sunday afternoon, we would have lunch and then my wife would finish her lunch and get in the car and drive to the work so that she can be ahead with her work so that person can't protect her. She's been diagnosed with depression. She's handling it very well through the support system that me and the kids and everybody gives to her. But the point that I wanted to share, when this incident was reported at this particular company, this executive had so much influence that she could go to the HR, where my wife later complained, and then threaten this HR as well.
Wow.
And the point that I wanted to make, there's so much of this stuff going on in companies nowadays. It's ridiculous that we haven't, like, design an independent system that could deal with stuff like this in companies. So, in other words, the HR is not employed by the company.
Biggest problem. It's probably
the biggest.
Yeah, and then they're the same people try and motivate you. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah, but
My wife was so distraught after she heard that this executive came to the HR, and then eventually they found out that nothing's going to be done to this. He didn't get a hearing, he didn't get a disciplinary hearing or anything. And then my wife got another job in the same company, but she was just transferred to another department. And a couple of months after that, we found out that she's still doing this to another person who filled my wife's position in that old, in her old post. And unfortunately, my wife knew the person who filled the job, and she just felt so bad for her. Yeah.
Roderick, I want to thank you, man. It's never easy to talk about these things, and I want to thank you for taking the time, sir. So what I'm going to do when we return, I'm going to get Lavandri to actually respond to that.
Play Cape Talk.
Join the conversation the smart way.
This is Cape Talk.
Yeah, boy, yes. Good morning. And Lavandri Pillay, clinical psychologist, chatting to us, our guest today, talking specifically about bullying in the workplace. And we just had the gentleman call in and talk about his wife, who was bullied, an executive that even bullied HR. So, Lavandri, where do we start with that one?
Yeah, I mean, thank you, Roderick, for sharing your wife's story with us. I think he raises a lot of issues that are quite important. I mean, the one, his wife has depression, and thank goodness she's managing it successfully. But there are a lot of people out there who have depression and are sitting with these symptoms because of the bullying they're experiencing in the work environment and aren't able to get help for it. She's fortunate enough to be in a position where she is getting family support. Yes. What about people who don't have that? The other issue that was raised is what happens to the when you know you go to HR and HR can't even help you, and that when you leave, even if you have the opportunity to leave the environment, that that still continues even when you're gone, because now another victim is put in your place. So these are various issues that really do need to be addressed. And I mean, I think Roderick made a very important comment of someone that's not employed by the company, someone that's outside of the system that can help you deal with the system that is corrupt.
Yeah. And but once again, it's a function of management and leadership within a business.
Yes.
If you truly believe that you want to give your staff that level of independence when it comes to being able to raise issues, I mean, we all have this cloud of, I mean, it's BS baffles brains, man. Quite frankly, if I had to be pretty crass about it, it's exactly what it is. BS baffles brains. You go to HR and they'll look after you. Please.
No.
Someone spin me another story at some stage, will we? I got another question here. Hi, Kino. Can you please ask Lavandru for advice on what can be done about bullying in a small family company? I mean, that's a dynamic we've not really spoken about. A small family company where everybody knows everybody else and you are the outsider. That's about as good as going to HR.
Yeah, you're not going to get very far. Unfortunately, I think in that type of situation, it does get very complicated because there's more at risk. It's not just your career. It's not just your employment life or your work life that's at affected here. It's both your personal life,
yes,
as well.
Yes.
And then it can get quite messy because you don't want it to filter through into your work life. You don't want the challenges at work to filter through into your home life. What I would suggest in that situation would obviously to be increase your knowledge, get more knowledge in terms of where you stand, how you stand in that position, and how you can stand up to these people in a way that is not attacking and not defensive. So you want to try and engage with especially family members in a way that allows them to feel heard, but also that you're not accusing them of something. So there's more of an open discussion around it. And hopefully at some point, if you're doing that often enough, there will be more of a leeway so that they can hear that you're struggling.
Yeah.
With the dynamics within the system.
Okay, so we have to wrap. So one or two take homes for people who find themselves in a situation. What are some of the tools that they can use right now to at least start the journey?
I think starting the journey is the important part. You need to be aware of the fact that you might be in a situation where you are being bullied. You have to build an awareness for what is right and what's not. Is it okay for me to be spoken to in this way, or is it just, you know, something that's helping me build my abilities in the company? So that's the one thing. The other thing is ask for help. If you can't ask for help in the environment that you're working in, ask for help outside of the environment. Seek advice from other employees that might be in a similar situation.
Yeah.
Get support from them. You have to engage with outside sources and support. Otherwise, if you're trying to do it on your own, you're going to struggle.
Indeed. Well, Lavandru, it was a pleasure chatting to you. And thank you very much for joining us today. Lavandru Pillay is a clinical psychologist.
Thanks for having me, Kina.
Always a pleasure.